If you have your Bibles, please open them up to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. One of the things we try and do in this church is normally, not all the time, tonight we'll be doing something a little bit different, but normally we just try and keep working through books of the Bible. We want to try and just work on so that as we continue, we start to get a whole picture of all that God is saying to us in those particular books. And as a pastor, that is one of the nicest things, because I don't have to wrestle every single week with what passage do we go to next, because we just go to the next one. And rather than thinking through all the particular and complex needs of the congregation, we just open up and we see what God is going to say to us in the next particular passage of Scripture. And that can be so helpful in the study and makes it so clear where to go next. But at the same time, as we've been doing this for a while, it is remarkable how so often, as we just simply plod through the next passage of Scripture, the next passage speaks exactly to the particular needs, the complex needs of the fellowship. In church life, often things come in waves. There are moments where things just seem to be very normal and we just kind of plod along doing what we do. There's little moments where we have these waves where God is just very kind and very obviously at work and very, very clearly busy in a positive way in the life of the church. And then there's also periods where there's all sorts of strong emotions that get stirred and trials that he takes us through. And I think in this particular week of our church's life, we have been going through a wave. We just had an outreach week where there was much prayer going on, and many ways that God seemed to be busy, and many pieces that he seemed to be bringing into place. And we were so encouraged as a church. At the same time, on Thursday night, it was good to be together and to see how God, after a lot of prayers over many years, has answered our need as a church for new elders and has brought that to be. And what a wonderful thing to be able to see so clearly God answering the prayers of the church. We were able to talk to the boys and girls, and tonight we're going to be able to come back and talk about two of our members heading out into the world to take the gospel and to be of help in other places and other parts in Indonesia. And what a wonderful and exciting moment for our church. And yet at the same time, we have many young people in our church that have just finished exams and feel so uncertain as they wait for results about what will be next for them in this life. We've many in our church who have received devastating news about their own health, about the health of loved ones, family, who they care about. And we all, as we've come together this morning, have been particularly burdened for the Larmer family as well. And so it's with this mixed bag of strong emotions at the crest of a wave that we come this morning and we open our Bibles to the next passage. And it just so happens that I think God has a lot to say about all of these different circumstances in the next passage of Exodus. Exodus chapter 15, verse 22 to 27. In God's providence, I think he has allowed us to come to this particular point so that we would hear his word at the time when we need to hear it. Exodus chapter 15, let's read from verse 22. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore they named it Marah, which means bitter. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to Yahweh, and Yahweh showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There Yahweh made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, "If you will diligently listen to my voice, the voice of Yahweh your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. For I am Yahweh, your healer." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you that all of your word is helpful, and all of your word, when we open it, is timely. And so we just pray for your help to understand and to see how your word applies to the circumstances of your people, how it speaks to our need, and how it should transform the way that we think and the way that we act. We do pray that you would help us to learn and to grow and to increase our confidence in your control over every affair in this life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And when we think about God in the Bible, we have to recognize that he is remarkably consistent. In the Bible, he is always in control. He is always present with us. He is always quick to forgive. He is always ready to fight for his people. And he is always able to comfort his people, even in the most difficult of circumstances. And yet, he has chosen an inconsistent people to be his children. He is so consistent. And yet he chooses a people who are often quick to rebel, and quick to accuse, and very often quick to forget. And as we come to this passage this morning, the first thing I want you to notice is incredible forgetfulness. That's our first point, incredible forgetfulness. Because when we look at Israel here, that's what we face. We see them in incredible forgetfulness. We're going to sing after our sermon. We're going to sing, Come Thou Fount. It was written by a man, Robert Robinson, who was saved in his early 20s. And he penned that hymn, Come Thou Fount. And there's going to be that verse that we'll sing. You remember those lines? Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Now, it's probably not a true story, but there is stories that have circulated about that song and about Robert, who was really saved by God in his early 20s. And he wrote this song quite early on when he was still in his 20s. And later on in his life, he kind of maybe drifted a little or lost his confidence in God. And it was when he was sitting on a coach, and the lady beside him started to hum the hymn that he had written, that all of a sudden God worked through the very words that he had penned to bring back conviction and caused him to see his need to come back. Because prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. We, as a people, can be so quick to forget. And many people, maybe even in our own church, have felt that temptation to forget in their own heart. Yet, what is sometimes the most surprising thing is how quickly we forget. How quickly we forget. See, in Exodus, the passage that we just read, the people there, the Israelites, they've just put their tambourines back in their rucksack. They've just sang praise to God. He's just worked in a wonderful way. It's all fresh in their mind. Look at verse 21. And Miriam sang to them, Sing to Yahweh, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, the people grumbled against Moses and said, What shall we drink? Now picture the scene here. In the last month that these people have lived, they have seen rivers turn to blood. They've seen frogs and gnats and flies and locusts. They were preserved themselves while Egypt suffered from hail, from darkness, and from the death of the firstborn. And they had been freed from slavery. All they had known as a people was slavery. That generation had only experienced being slaves. And for the first time, they had been set free. They come to the Red Sea, remember, and they saw the dust cloud rise and the most powerful army in the world come over the crest of the hill and down to decimate them. And they had felt the fear through their bodies and the anxiety that was created. And yet God had moved and protected them and parted the sea and brought them across. They had been safe, and whenever the army tried to follow, the Egyptian army that was so set against them, God decimated them. And the people were able to see the bodies of their enemy strewn across the banks of the river. And there they stood, and all they could do was sing. And as a nation, remember, this is almost 2 million people joining together in one song. They stood and 2 million people sang to God. How could you forget something so real and so clear? And yet we read, 3 days later, they're grumbling. They're grumbling. Just 3 days after. Now, in fairness, 3 days, their water supply would have started to run dry, and it definitely would have needed replenished. And thirst was a very real thing. It was daunting. They had children with them. They had old people with them. They had animals with them. Many people who needed to be taken care of. And so there is something very hard about the situation they face, and something even very scary about the situation they face. But remember, God had been acting in such a tangible way, and that's where the problem lies. Psalm 106, verse 7 said, "When our fathers were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses. They rebelled by the Red Sea." In other words, they haven't even got away from the water, and rebellion is already in their heart. You see, as we come to the end of chapter 15, the problem really isn't the bitter water. And the water simply revealed that the condition of the people's heart was bitter. They had bitter hearts, and that's why their natural act when faced with a small difficulty was to complain and grumble. Not to pray and ask God, who had done so much for them, to help them one more time, to be bitter and complain. They were a people who could sing when all was great and then go out and complain tomorrow at the first sign of difficulty. It's remarkable, isn't it, how quickly they forgot their God. And yet, are we any different? Sometimes we're helped by God on Saturday. We come to church and sing thanks to Him on Sunday. And then we go out on Monday, feel overwhelmed and complain at the next challenge that we face. And we mentioned earlier, as a church, we just had this wonderful outreach week. And God has answered prayers of the people. He's brought us into contact with many people in our community, and He drew us closer together as a church. We mentioned as well, He has answered our prayers that have been offered consistently for a long time, that God would raise up and give us elders, and He has answered that prayer. And yet there is a danger that tomorrow we go out and we forget. We start to take His kindnesses for granted. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. That old song that many people have grown up singing, why will it surprise you? Because we don't take time to remember. We were so quick as a people to forget. In this passage, we see with Israel, and we're reminded that we ourselves are often prone to incredible forgetfulness. The second thing I want you to notice in this passage is incredible patience. Incredible patience, and we see it in how God responds. He's faced, after doing so much, with such a rebellious and forgetful people. He's moved in an unbelievable way. He's taken their enemy out. He's delivered them continuously. And here, as they stand before Him just 3 days after, grumbling and complaining, He would be perfectly entitled to abandon them and leave them all alone. Leave them by themselves. They're an ungrateful and untrusting people. And yet when they complain to him, look at what we read in verse 25. Verse 25. Moses cried to Yahweh. And Yahweh showed him a log and he threw it into the water and the water became sweet. The log wasn't the magic here. The log had no special properties here. Rather, it was a means that God worked to give water for the people to drink. The people complained. Moses prayed. And God answered his prayer and helped this ungrateful people. Did you notice who Moses turned to? In the midst of the trial, who did he pray to? Well, we've said that a lot in Exodus, haven't we? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That special Old Testament name for God, Yahweh. A name that spoke of the covenant-keeping God, the one who keeps his promises. Here is a people. You know, they face a trial. They hit a bump in life. And they scream accusations as a result because their hearts are bitter. Moses, he faced that same trial. He hit that same bump. He felt the urgency, maybe even more, as leader to provide for the people. And how did he respond? Well, he prayed to the promise-making God. And in doing so, his prayers were heard and his prayers were answered. It's a wonderful reminder, isn't it, about the power of prayer. The people just want to fight. But Moses here, in a godly way, he turns to the Lord, the only one capable of helping. And he asks in prayer for him to move. One of the greatest ministries we can commit ourselves to in this church is the ministry of prayer. There's been times in the last number of days where we haven't really known what to do to be helpful. And so we've turned to prayer. In reality, there's nothing more urgent for us to be committed to than to bring our prayers to the throne of the only one capable and able to move and to bring relief even in the midst of bitter waters. God does hear. And he does answer. What a wonderful God. Incredible forgetfulness of the people. Incredible patience of God. And then thirdly, I want you to notice the incredible care. The incredible care. Look at the second half of verse 25. There Yahweh made for them a statute and a rule. And there he tested them, saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of Yahweh your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. For I am Yahweh, your healer. After giving this the people water, God reveals a special aspect of his character that he wants them to trust in throughout the rest of their wilderness journeys. They're not going to be out of the wilderness yet. There's a long way to go. And he wants them to realize that he is the God who is with them in a particular way. And what particular way is it he wants them to remember that he is with them? Well, he tells it in the name that he reveals at the end of verse 26. He is God, your healer. Or we could say it another way, and maybe it's more helpful in our minds to understand. He is God, your doctor. That's what it's saying there. This is God, your doctor. In the wilderness, in the difficulties, in the journey, we need to know God is your doctor. It reminds us that he is the God both of our soul. Yes, he does care about your soul. Certainly. But he also does care about your body. The God of soul and body. And it reminds us that on an ongoing basis, he is invested in and cares about both. Through eternity, he cares about both. This morning, there's many here who need to be reassured that God is our doctor. And in the context here, it stresses what that means in three particular ways. First of all, as our doctor, he protects us from corrective trials. That's what he's saying immediately in the text here. Look at verse 26 and to see all that he's saying. If you will diligently listen to the voice of Yahweh your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. For I am Yahweh your doctor, or Yahweh your healer. God is talking, remember, to a bitter people here. They've got sin in their heart. They're complaining against him. They have a major problem that they need to work through. And he reminds them of what happened to the Egyptians when they refused to listen to him. They had ignored God. They'd ignored the warnings. They'd ignored the requests. God, remember, had gone to the Egyptians and said, "Let my people go." And the Egyptians said, "No, no." And the plagues, the signs and wonders that came were sent to Egypt to wake them up, to let them know that God was real, that God meant business, that the people would be let go. Here God says to Israel, if your bitter heart is now blocking your ears and you won't listen to me, I will send physical trials to wake you up. This is not saying that every sickness or hardship that we experience in life is the result of not listening to God. Certainly not. Many people, Job in the Bible, many others, Paul had that thorn in the flesh. Many godly people, they suffer physically as God brings about other benefits and other good through those circumstances. But sometimes, this verse reminds us, God does use sickness and use difficulties to wake us up to our need to trust in God. Here in verse 26, God is saying if we obey and we follow him, we're going to be spared those corrective trials. But there's more here. Not only is he saying that you'll be spared corrective trials, but in that title itself, Yahweh our healer, or Yahweh our doctor, he reminds us that he is the one ultimately in control of our body and our soul. And it reminds us as well, when you think of the doctor, you think of the healer, his disposition towards each of us is a caring disposition, a tender disposition. When you're sick, you want the most knowledgeable doctor to be working with you. You want the specialist who has all the skills to be able to help and heal you. You want the nurse who will be the kindest and the gentlest with you. Well, all of those qualities are found in their fullest way in God himself. The Bible says he knit us together in our mother's wombs. The Bible says each day of our life is written in his book. That he knows the numbers of hairs that are on our head. That he is the one who has fearfully and wonderfully made us. No one knows us more precisely. And no one helps us more ably and persistently in this life than God. We need to know that God is our doctor. When earthly doctors don't know, God knows. When human physicians lose hope, we can hope in God still. And there's nothing more that a human can do, the divine doctor can. This isn't a verse that says all of God's children never get sick. No. Rather, it's a verse that says at no moment of life, is anyone outside the hands of God's divine care? He will hold us fast. The doctor is always able and always present and always in control of each situation. Today, as we have the Larmers worshiping with us, we all need to know and pray Because God the doctor is with we and while they are with us. We can pray to the ultimate expert, the one who is truly able, the one who designed every aspect of the body, the one who is the care of body and soul and has promised to be the divine doctor. He protects us from corrective trials. He's the care of body and soul. And also in this name, we're reminded, he is a gracious restoration that he's working all things together to. You know, sometimes whenever you get sick and you have to go through treatment, and there's some in our church who are experiencing this at this very moment, that the actual treatment itself can wreak havoc on the body. The actual treatment itself can be painful to get us to the place we need to be, to get the results, to get the all clear, to get us to a proper place where we have a good bill of health. And there's something in that, that thought in this passage. Here are the Israelites in the wilderness. They're still in the wilderness. And they will be thirsty again. And there will be attacks that will come upon them. And there will be difficulties that they will face. But here they are being reminded, as they journey through this wilderness, a doctor is going to carry them through. The doctor is going to bring them to the promised land. The doctor is not going to let them go. He's going to take them the whole way through the treatment to the other side, to the promised result. And it's a reminder for us as well. This world is not our own. God's plans for us are far bigger than today's trials. The doctor knows the good that he is working all things together for. We may not understand it fully, but he knows the good that he is working all things together for. And as believers, his word assures us that we can trust him. It can be hard, but we can trust him through every difficulty in this life. Because through it, he prepares ahead of us that day where we will be with him in paradise. Here we see incredible forgetfulness, incredible patience, incredible care, and lastly, incredible relief. Incredible relief. As Christians, we do look forward to paradise, to that time where we will be freed. But here on earth, we sometimes forget God gives us these respite moments. He gives us these little moments of relief. Sometimes we are surrounded by bitter water, but sometimes we're surrounded by an oasis. Look at verse 27 at the end. After the bitter water experience, what do we read? Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water, one for each tribe, and 70 palm trees for shelter, and they encamped there by the water. They're still in the wilderness, and yet God took this people, this mass of people, to water and abundance and shade. He knew the weakness of his people. He knew their needs, and he knew they needed recharged. He knew they needed refueled, and he gave them this moment where they could enjoy relief in the wilderness before they continued on in the journey. Now, these moments do come in life. They're not promised. The paradise before us is promised. But often in life, God does give us these little moments of relief, moments of joy, moments where we are reminded so clearly he is good. Little snacks to prepare us for heaven's meal. And sometimes I worry that some of us are not able to appreciate those moments when they come. We're so down and that we can't look up and realize the relief, the oasis that God has given to us at this particular moment. This time of recharging, whether it be just through peace, the help of family, church, kindness, encouragement from his word, or simply a moment where the bumps in life are steadied for just a moment so we can recharge. When those moments come, enjoy them. That's what God's word says. Enjoy them. And enjoy the refreshment that comes through the Lord who is good. Now, there's a lot in that passage, and many of us are at the very different stages in that passage. Maybe some people here this morning have forgotten who their God is. We're struggling in our attitude. We're struggling as we think about what tomorrow holds. And we're struggling because we've remembered how good our God is. Maybe some of us, we need to repent of our mistrust and remember he is a good shepherd. Some of us maybe need to place our worries in the hand of Yahweh the doctor. I'm very conscious that there are many in this room who today need to know that Yahweh is their doctor. And you need to know this morning that he assures us in his word that he is able in your circumstance to continue to care and to make known to you that he is your doctor. And some of us, we need to appreciate the moment of rest that God has given to us and thank him for this little taste of heaven even now. I'm very conscious everybody is at different points. And it's interesting that we come to a passage that exposes all of them. But God's word is profitable. And it has spoken to us this morning. I say that not because I'm confident in my own ability. I say it because I'm confident in God's word. It has spoken to us this morning. And we must respond with a desire to know him more, to trust him more, and to know that tomorrow he is our doctor. He is our help. And we enjoy him because of that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray that in the various circumstances of the people of this room, that you would meet their need. For those who are enjoying refreshment, a time of relief, help them to truly be refreshed, to taste and see that you're good, to be recharged for the next journey. For those who are forgetful, we ask, Lord, that you would remind us that you are the God who is in control, that you are the God we must trust, that you are the God who has done great things in the past and has promised great things for our future. For those, Lord, who are hurting and struggling with the very frailty of this life, we pray that you would help them to know that you are the divine doctor, that you are the one in control, that your disposition towards us is gentle and kind, and that you are able to help. May we pray more. May we trust more. May we know you more through this journey. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.